So this week we study a better substitute. This week is a better substitute. And I've given you an outline. And the first part of the outline is verses 1 and 2, God's command to Abraham. God's command to Abraham, verses 1 and 2, and I'll read those to you in Genesis 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am, take your son. And he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Someone dropped their yellow card. Just so. I'm going to set it on the table. Someone, some wonderful mother, dropped their yellow card. Okay. So, it says here that God tested Abraham. That's the word used. Some translation says he tempted him, but most say he tested him. Not so much to produce faith, but to reveal the faith that Abraham already possessed. Abraham's response to God were the words, here I am. And we see Abraham says that several times in these verses, doesn't he? Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. He's willing and open. He's saying, I am ready. I'm ready to learn. I'm listening. I'm ready to obey. I'm ready to surrender to your call. We see the word son. Did you count how many times you saw the word son in Genesis 22? Son? It's many, many times in 22. And here God says, your son, your only son. Some people have said, well, what about Ishmael? But by this time, Ishmael had been put out from Abraham's family. And as far as God's covenant was concerned, Abraham was the only, Isaac was the only son of Abraham. He only had one son. In verse 2, you know, we're in Genesis, and I'm thinking, there's so many things that it's the first time we've seen it in the Bible, because this is the first book of the Bible. So this is the first time, this is the first mention of the word love in Scripture, is this verse that says, the son whom you love. And that is the love between a father and a son we see here. And it's connected, though, with the sacrificial offering of a son, your son whom you love. And I was thinking about the words that God was speaking to Abraham and how each one, to me as a mom, would have cut like a knife. Take your only, whom you love. Offer him as a burnt offering. Every word must have just been so painful to hear. And a burnt offering, remember, is an offering that's already been killed and then burned. So he knew what that meant, a burnt offering. And the heathen pagans, the Canaanites, sacrificed their children to their gods. And I wonder, if Abraham wondered, but God, that's what the pagans do. Just the confusion. But we don't see that here. It's stated as a command. And I thought, how would you react if God asked you to do such a thing? Would you think, I got to talk to you, God. Got to talk to you about this. Because you already promised Isaac your seed is going to be called. And that you just said it recently. And so it will be contradictory for me to kill my son. He's the promise. He's the promise of the covenant. And it has not yet even been fulfilled in him. We got to talk about this. It just doesn't make any sense. Am I supposed to tell Sarah? I'm going to travel for 3 days, and what am I going to say to him? What about the people around me? What are they going to think if I do this? We don't see any of this. God does not say any of this happened. And I thought, wow, Abraham, was he asking God, am I killing the promise that you're giving to me? What am I going to tell Sarah? How can I do this? But Abraham trusts the promiser. He trusted the promiser. And God also commanded Abraham to go to a very specific place, Mount Moriah. And he carefully directed Abraham with specific instructions about each detail. So now we're going to read Genesis 22, 3 to 10, Abraham's obedience. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of the young men with him and his son, Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Without hesitation, Abraham rose up early that next morning, and he trusted God even if he didn't understand what was going on. He didn't debate with God, and we have no record that he sought counsel from anyone. Say, here's what just happened. What do you think I should do? Nothing is told to us about that. He walked by faith, not by his feelings. So for many years, God had been training up Abraham, bringing him to a place of great trust. And when I've gone through trials, and life is hard for all of us, I've often asked myself, in times of those struggles and trials, do I really trust God, or do I just say I trust God, or do I really trust God? In preparation, we read that Abraham himself, now Abraham, he had lots of servants, he had animals, he had his people. He did this himself. He saddled the donkey himself. I thought that was interesting. He split the wood himself. He didn't ask the servants. He did it himself. And then he went to Mount Moriah, a three-day journey. And again, we wonder, what did they talk about during those 3 days on that trip? Mount Moriah is in Jerusalem. It is the site of Solomon's temple, which we know is destroyed in 70 AD, but now it is the site of the Dome of the Rock. So when you see pictures of Jerusalem and you see that golden dome, does that sound familiar? Has anyone had a chance to go to? Yes, that is exactly the spot that God had directed Abraham to go to. The Hebrew word that Abraham uses here when he says we're going to go worship and come back, that word is, it's spelled S-H-A-C-H-A-H, and it's pronounced Shaha. It's a Hebrew word, and it means to bow down. And now again, this is the first time that word worship is mentioned in the Bible. So Abraham said he and Isaac would go to worship, and they would return. Hebrews 11:17-19 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. So indeed, in the sense that Isaac was figuratively dead because he was going to be potentially sacrificed, he did, in a sense, bring him back from the dead to Abraham, thinking, 'I'm going to go kill my son,' but he didn't have to. Abraham carried the knife, and when they said he carried the fire, it could have been a lantern. It wasn't like he was carrying fire, or flint. We're not told exactly, but he carried the fire. And then Isaac carried the wood, and I thought about Jesus in John 19:17. He went up bearing his own cross. He carried the wood. So the two of them went together in agreement. And when Isaac asked, "Where is the lamb?" Abraham knew that God would provide a sacrifice, but how, he didn't know. He just trusted God to fulfill his covenant promise. So they came to a specific place that God had told Abraham. Now, Abraham by now is over 100 years old. And it's like 2000 BC, 2064 BC. We're talking a long time ago. And he then built an altar. So he might have lifted the stones up and built a spot. And then it says he placed the wood on it. And Isaac was a young, strong man. He could have escaped. He could have run away. He could have fled in fear. He could have left his father, but he submitted perfectly, just as Jesus submitted to his father's will. An obedient son, Abraham laid Isaac on the wood. Abraham laid him on the wood. And now we're going to read about in Genesis 22:10-14, God's divine provision. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." So Abraham was ready to actually plunge the knife into Isaac and kill his beloved son. But then an angel told Abraham to not lay a hand on the boy. He had displayed his heart toward God and that he was willing to give up his only son. And God shows us his heart in the same way, in his giving his only begotten son for our salvation. Can you say to God, "I know that you love me, seeing that you have not withheld your only son from me"? Have you ever received Christ as your personal Savior? Christ who died for you on the cross. And I always talk about the ABCs of salvation. Today is no exception. The A is admit that you're a sinner. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The B is believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, you personally, that God so loved Sarah or Mary or Sue or Kathy, that he so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, and that you need to confess your sins and then commit your life to Jesus Christ. And that for those of us who know Christ as our personal Savior, that those are the steps we took to confirm that with God, that we have received Christ, his son, as our Savior. So God provided a ram as a sacrifice. All the while, God did require a sacrifice, we find out. He didn't call off the sacrifice, did he? He had a substitute waiting. He had a substitute. He had another planned in mind all along. He didn't call it off. He required there was a substitute, and the substitute he provided himself. Abraham didn't name the place Mount Trial or Mount Agony or Mount Misery or Mount Obedience. He didn't focus on what he had done on the mount. He named it for what God had done. God had provided the Mount of Provision. God would provide the ultimate sacrifice for salvation on that very mount someday, because that is where Golgotha is. If you've been to Jerusalem, you know all in that area. You can go to the skull where Christ was crucified, and right there in that very area is the Temple Mount. And that is on that very spot where Isaac was, is where Christ had been sacrificed. And the amazing thing, if you've been there, who now occupies really the Dome of the Rock? Who? The Muslims. It's not the Christians, it's not the Jews, it's the Muslims. So if you go there, when you first go into the old city, you have to pass through security and, you know, metal detectors, and you see the Wailing Wall, and you keep going in, and eventually, depending on the right time, when Christians can go in, you can go up to that area. But you cannot take any, they check your bags again, you can't take any printed materials, you can't really speak very loudly, you're not allowed to share anything. There's all sorts of rules. So I had a friend who went, and she told me the story that she was with a group, and she said, "You know, we're going to go up there, and we're going to be where Abraham and Isaac were. So how about if each one of us memorize one of the verses of Genesis 22? I have goosebumps. And when we get up there, very quietly, because you're allowed to speak quietly, we're going to tell this story, standing exactly where this happened. She said it was like transformative, that they were right there. And when you go there and you're walking the Via Dolorosa, all the places, she said that was just so powerful, that we had hid God's word in our heart. It wasn't in our bag. They couldn't confiscate it. We hid God's word in our heart. And we went there and we all said different verses. And we said all of Genesis 22. When we would go on vacation, my husband often would pick verses for us to memorize as a family. Sometimes it was a psalm. Sometimes it was just a section of the Bible. But his thought was, when we go on vacation, let's have a little more purpose than just having fun, which is very important. But let's, together as a family, every morning and evening, work on these Bible verses and memorize them so that his word could be hidden in our heart, even together as a family. So, and then Genesis 22, 15 to 19 is God's covenant is confirmed. And I'll read those verses. And the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and they went to Beersheba. And Abraham lived in Beersheba. So in these verses, we learn because of Abraham's faith and his obedience to God, the promise is confirmed. The blessing comes to those who trust in the Lord, and he trusted enough to take action on that belief. He trusted in God's promise to bring descendants through Isaac, and God emphasized that promise after Abraham's remarkable obedience. And when I read those words, all the stars and all the grains of sand, I can't, how do you even think of a number? I was looking it up and said, does anyone know what this number is on Google? It said it's like 10 to the 25 whatever power. It's just such a massive, unbelievable number. Because just think, in a cup of sand, how many grains of sand there are when you're at the beach. It's just, and all the beaches that there are. So it's an amazing number. And God also reiterated the promise. The promise that the Messiah would come from Abraham's lineage. The Messiah, the only begotten son of the Father, would fulfill the promise of blessing all. So Abraham and Isaac and the two men returned together to Beersheba. And then these last verses, 20 to 22, talk about the lineage of Abraham and his family. And now Genesis lists the family of Abraham, and we see the name Rebecca. Don't we see that in there? Rebecca in verse 23. And Rebecca is included in the family heritage of the Messiah. She will marry Isaac, we find later. So could we turn to the back of the outline I gave you? And I did a study on, and there was so much. It's not conclusive. It's just me looking through the Bible, kind of having fun with it. that Isaac and Jesus, that both of their births were prophesied, Isaac as well as Christ's birth. And then the birth was also proclaimed by an angel for each of them. Gabriel had proclaimed it to Mary, and I put all the Bible references in there. There were too many for me to just stand up here and say all of them. And the birth was proclaimed as to the angel to Abraham and Sarah. It was a miraculous birth for both of them, one to very aged parents who were beyond, she was beyond the age of bearing a child, and the virgin birth of Jesus. The Isaac is called son 8 times in these verses, and the only son twice in those verses. And Jesus, many times in Scripture, is called the only begotten son of the Father, the son of the promise, just as Isaac was the son of a promise. Isaac willingly submitted to be sacrificed, and Jesus willingly submitted to be sacrificed, we see in Scripture. God provided a lamb as a substitute sacrifice for Isaac. We just read in Genesis 22. And Christ is the lamb. He is the substitute sacrifice for each one of us. He took our place. The son of promise is Isaac, and that we read about, and we'll see more in Genesis also, in Romans and Galatians. And of course, Jesus is the son of promise. And then Mount Moriah, Isaac traveled with Abraham, and this was going to be the future site of Solomon's beautiful temple. And Christ was crucified on Moriah at Golgotha, very near that temple altar. And those are the verses in John and Leviticus. And through Isaac, it said the whole, and Abraham's descendants, it said the whole world would be blessed. And in Galatians and in 1 John 2:2, it says Jesus, the whole world would be blessed by Jesus. And there's more. I thought maybe you'd like to study a little bit the submission to the Father, Isaac's submission, obedience unto death, laid on top of the wood, bound before the sacrifice. There's so many. I didn't even realize it when I started studying, because I knew this was a story of a substitute, that Christ would be our perfect lamb. But so many things in scriptures just make that so clear as I studied it. And then I thought, I think there are some lessons we can learn about the faith of Abraham that matter to me. Are all those messages coming up? Oh, that's kind of personal. Some lessons about faith from Abraham. The reason we need to have faith in God in any crisis or difficulty is because we have incomplete knowledge of God's plan. God does not require that we know every detail before we obey him. He is our Father. We need to obey. We need to obey. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are bigger than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Is it still going on? What should I do? Okay, I hope they're not like doing something subversive or something. The second lesson I saw was faith obediently submits to God's will. Faith obediently submits to God's will. Abraham loved Isaac so very much. But to Abraham, obedience to God's will was even more important than his love for Isaac. Our lives are not our own. God has given us this life. Every breath is a gift from him. God has gifted us everything. And faith makes us willing to give up or to offer up anything God requires of us. Sometimes even the things that are most precious to you. Third, faith confidently depends on God's power and provision. Abraham counted on God's unfailing ability to provide for him, Abraham, what was needed in every circumstance he faced. And fourth, our faith benefits by being manifested, proven, and refined through crisis. In verse 12, it reveals that the purpose of God in the command he gave Abraham to sacrifice his son was designed to prove Abraham's love and devotion. And God said it proved that you would not even withhold your son from me, his faith. But when you think about it, it wasn't for God to see Abraham, because God's omniscient. He knows everything. He knew exactly what would happen. He gave Abraham to sacrifice his son. He gave a command, and the purpose of that command was designed to prove Abraham's love and devotion, and it did prove his faith. So when you think about that, it wasn't for Abraham and all his descendants. It was through Abraham that his descendants, everyone knows the story, that they could learn, including us today as we study the word. We're learning from this story of what Abraham did. This is a story that goes on and on through history. Today, also think of the faith of Isaac in this story. He submitted himself to being bound. He could have run away. He could have left. But he laid on the altar. He was lifted on the altar and sacrificed, ready to be sacrificed, just as Christ submitted himself to arrest and crucifixion. He had the ability to call legions of angels to deliver him, but he did not call them. He submitted. So ladies, is your life consecrated for the Lord's use? Are you daily submitting to the Lord's will? Are you seeking the Lord's will in prayer and scripture reading? Seeking his face and his will for your life. These are the lessons that we can learn from Abraham. And this is why God put this story in the Bible. Nothing is wasted that God gives us. It's for us to, for generations, thousands of years, to read this story, to understand what deep, deep faith, trusting in God and his perfect will, even when you don't understand it. So let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for the story of Abraham and Isaac and all that it teaches us. And thank you most of all for the gift of your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross as obediently, submissively, so we might have eternal life. It's in his name we thank you and praise you. Amen.